And I've heard several people that, Brother Moose, I've heard that he's been direct his message, yeah. Heard that one's Gary Thomas. I don't know if we're doing good. But Brother Booth is our pastor, and he's been a real help and inspiration to me. It's one of the main reasons that I came to Bible school, so if you don't like my being here at Bible school, talk to him. And he's probably bigger than you are, so that's too bad. But as long as he's been my pastor, he said a lot of things that have helped me to grow in the Lord, and I've never known him to tell me anything that wasn't true. I've always known him to tell me truth and things that I needed to know, and not always, you know, it's not always the things that you like that are the things that you need to know, but after you get the things that you need to know, they become the things that you like. And so at this time, I think it's very good.
Thank you, Gary. It's a real joy to be here this evening. I feel very honored and privileged to be able to stand before you and speak tonight. I would like to, at this time, say a big thank you to the college, Brother Branham, all the instructors and workers. I appreciate it very, very much for what you've done for my daughter. Kids from my church. I'm proud. We have a school we can bring our kids to like this. I mean that from the deep of my heart. And I just thank you from the very depths of my heart for what you're doing for the young people. And we're just real proud and thankful of it. And God bless you for it. Brother Dave Branham called me and asked me if I would speak, and to tell you the truth, I was shocked to death. No, I don't say that anymore. One of the fellows says you're not supposed to say shocked to death. I was startled. And besides that, I was just a little bit scared. But I felt that God did lay a message on my heart that I'd like to bring to each one of you tonight. I sort of got a charge out of it when Gary came down, and he preaches out of a Bible like I've got and studies out of one. So we're going to use Dake's mistakes to bring you Booth's reproofs. As a pastor and working with young people many, many times in the district of which we're laboring, there's needs that are so prevalent, and we see so many times. There's one problem that I see more than probably any other one. It's pride and naughtiness of heart. When you think of rebellion and we think of someone that won't listen, or someone that has to have their own way, we call it rebellion. But when you analyze it, you'll find out it's because of a proud heart, that you think someone is smarter than you, or you think you're smarter than someone else, rather, that you won't accept the instructions of someone else. I don't like to be told any better than anybody else. It's always, you know, naturally, I'm a good buck passer. You can ask my wife and kids about that. You know, it's awful easy to do that. But I feel like that when we're looking at a group of some of the finest young people in the world today, I believe that. I believe there's some needs that we need to realize as we go to labor for God that are necessary. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not greatly be moved. Someone, and I believe it was Billy Graham, made the remark. He said, there's three of us. the person you think you are, the persons others think you are, and the person that God knows you are. Let's read a scripture in Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let us pray. Jesus, for your word we're thankful. Would you anoint our hearts and lives together? God, I pray as we endeavor to break the bread of life tonight, that you would help us, Lord, to challenge some life, Lord Jesus, in the very harvest field that was singing about, oh God, that it would be a message that would challenge and it would move and would stir our hearts together to draw closer to thee, that your name would be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things I'd like for you to notice, first of all, we have several young ministers that are going out probably and possibly in the full-time ministry. One of the things that I've noticed, the people are more glad to give you praise than they ever will be Jesus Christ. The most of people will heap praises upon you. If something good happens, someone gives their heart to God, if you want to be the type of person that would crave the praise of this, you can take glory that belongs to God, and it'll never go to the right place. And you begin to hinder your own ministry and hamper your own life. Just recently, we've had a great move of God in our church, of which I am grateful. But one of the things that people begin to say, you have done this. And I said, now let's just wait just a minute. Let's just sit down and wait just a minute. I use the illustration, it's very crude, I know, but I couldn't change a mouse. I couldn't save a cat. I couldn't do anything. And only God can minister to the heart and life to a man or woman. I have a responsibility under God, but I want you to know tonight, neighbor, that it takes God's Holy Spirit to change the lives of men and women. I have a responsibility, I feel it strongly. The person that God knows that I am. You say, I know who I am. I know what I think. I know what I want. You know, friends, we find when we look at the true facts that many times this is not true. If you don't believe it, you go to Kmart, or I guess it's Walmart down here after Christmas time. Somebody didn't know what somebody wanted. They have a special line, and they have special places in our stores where they take hundreds of gifts and things back after Christmas time. Our divorce courts are full. Somebody didn't make the right choice. Apparently, things just wasn't that way. And, you know, we like to think, well, I know what I'm doing. You know, friends, we need to realize that our strength is not our own. We have to say, even as Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. In Matthew chapter 20, 26 to 28 is the message that I'd like you to notice. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. We're living in a day when men are striving for greatness. I believe that God wants you to be the best minister that you can be for His glory and for His honor. But you know, a young man came to me some time back. He'd held me a meeting, and he said, you know, my desire, he said, I want to preach camp meetings. I want to preach camp meetings. Last time I heard, he wasn't preaching camp meetings. But I want to tell you something, friends. A great desire would be, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. They were telling me we have some problems sometimes in some of our churches across America filling the pulpits. And one of our Bible schools was telling me, says, don't you settle down for some little church of 40 or 50 that pays you $100 a week. Says, you get your church that runs 200 or 300 and pay you $200 or $300 a week. Just don't accept it. Let me tell you something. Where are we taking the place of a servant? He that's going to be great among you, he said, let him be servant. We're looking for the place of greatness today. I find that whenever it comes to the place of position and power, the position that brings honor and glory, it's not hard to get people to serve in that place. If we want people to sing, we want people to preach, we want people to be seen a man, you can get them by the dozens that'll come. This past 2 weeks, I've got phone calls by the dozens And a lot of them, and I got probably three or four of these warning services. Well, we want to come. I had to turn them down. Just constantly. They want the limelight, they want the cream, but they don't want to really get down and really do anything for God. Now, I know there's people that is just making phone calls and doing that, but please, remember this, friends. If we're going to find a place of service for God, we're going to have to humble ourselves. One of the scriptures that really has challenged my mind is the fact that God said, He resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. You know, when it comes to this, it shows me that God's pushing against you when you're rebelling with a proud heart. When pride is built up in your heart, you say, I don't have that problem. Well, you may not, but I'll tell you, you'll probably be faced with it. You'll probably be faced with the pride of your own heart. Jesus said that He came not to be ministered to, but to minister to and give His life a ransom for many. What kind of a place of service are you looking for? We have churches, and if we have a church that will pay $250 a week in our district, and all utilities paid in a new parsonage, we have no problem with getting applications for ministers. They'll flock in, literally sometimes they get 60 and 70 applications for churches like that. You get a little church that'll run about 40 or 50, and maybe doesn't pay but $50 or $100 a week, sometimes they go for months without a pastor. You say, now, Brother Booth, we got to get ahead and we got to realize. I realize, but you mean with all the people there is in the world that there's not a person for that place? What are we looking for? What are we really trying to do? Are we trying to build a name? I've not come very far in the ministry, I know that. But whenever I started out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I made up my mind that I was going to preach it the way I believed it. And I wasn't going to cater to man. I was going to do what I felt God wanted me to do, and I was going to do it that way. You say, how has it left you? Well, I'm happy with the Lord. Amen. I'm happy with the Lord, and I feel good about the situation, and I feel like this. You know, sometimes God might speak to our hearts. God's been good to us. We have a good church, takes care of us well. But one of our pastors in our section in the last 5 years left a strong church, a good paying church, a mature man older than I am, and took a home missions church. So what would you do, Brother Booth, if God called you to do that? I'd do what you'd do. I suppose if you obeyed God, I'd do what He told me to do. I don't want to leave. I don't want to, I'm kind of happy in the situation. But I'll tell you something, friends. Jesus humbled Himself, and He took upon Himself the form of a servant. And He said, if you're going to find any place of greatness, that's what you're going to have to do. It's so easy for us to want to tell other people what to do, even as pastors. I feel like this. That Jesus Christ has got to be Lord of all. But I have to take a responsibility as a shepherd or as a minister of the flock of God. And I have to feel that that is my responsibility. And to me, it's a very humbling responsibility because I have to answer for people. And I realize that God's going to bring many of these young people into a place of prominence. I feel like that in the ministry as far as lifting them up and giving them a full ministry. But you know, the Bible says in Psalm 75 and verse 6, it says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is a judge. He putteth down one, and He lifteth up another. I saw string pulling. I know what it'll do. It'll get you into mess you can't get out of. That's exactly what it'll do. It'll get you so tied up with responsibility to this one and to that one, you don't know where you're going. I think one of the things you need to realize concerning your ministry, there needs to be a unity of the message and of the life. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. What kind of a man was Jesus? He was a meek man, did you know that? He said, and He taught service of doing good. Did Jesus ever turn anyone down? Never. He taught self-resignation. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. What about Jesus? There wasn't a unity between the life and the message? There has to be, neighbor. There has to be. He taught forgiveness. I look at Peter and I see him as a blundering fisherman with his own heart very well. When he denied he knew the Lord, Jesus just lifted those eyes toward him. Peter went out and he wept bitterly and found a place of repentance. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 and 6, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. You know, friends, it kind of sounds like that God's not working for you when you're proud in heart. It kind of seems like that He might be working against you whenever you're proud in heart. Because if you go on down and read a few more verses, you'll find He says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But here He's saying that God resisteth the proud. I know success has a way of getting to people. Someone said nothing succeeds like success. But I'll tell you something, friends. If you look across America today, and you look at the great evangelists of days gone by, you can see what pride and naughtiness of heart has done to the Pentecostal movement. Amen. You can see what pride has done when it lifts a man up. It's not enough for me to tell people, don't look at me, because it's very easy for me to go ahead and let them bestow their favors and show that I am letting them look at me. But I need to resign the fact, oh God, to you all the glory belongs. A young minister friend of mine was preaching, and he made the remark one time in a service, and I thought, how beautiful. He said, there's no telling what God would do in our churches today if people didn't care who got the credit. If people didn't know who got the credit. I look at revivals across the land that have come and have gone. And many of them, the revival that brought Pentecost to my family. And there's probably been 50 or 75 altogether that have come to know the Lord. There was a lady that was unable to come to church. Her name was Jeanette Masters. The pastor lived in her home, him and his wife and children. They lived together, took care of her. She was a lady that was ill, but she fasted. I believe it was 21 days. I forget exactly the number of days. And she prayed to God for revival. I never knew anything about it till years afterward. But you know what? Nobody was giving Jeanette Masters praise. They were thanking God for what was happening. And you know what? She never got it down here, but she's getting it up there. She's going to get it on the other side. You know, if we'll clothe ourselves with humility, don't care who gets the praise. Don't care if our name makes the evangel or not. Not so concerned whether they have us speak at general council or not. Not so concerned about they give us a high office or not. It says, be clothed with humility. Now, the Bible speaks constantly about us humbling ourselves. I really believe this, and we've got a lot of Bible teachers here and know much more about it than I, Shirley. But I've been looking at the Word of God, and I began to look at the word grace in the Bible, the unmerited favor of God, or that which we get that we don't deserve. And I look at this word and I see it in a different light than I used to see it. When I find the word grace, I find the word humility attached with it. Noah found grace. It says in one place in the scripture that you may find grace. Now, if God resisteth proud,
and He giveth grace to the humble, there must be an humbling of ourselves if God is going to bestow what He wants to bestow upon our hearts and lives. He giveth grace to the humble. He's resisting the proud. You say, well, yes, God's going to be gracious to that man. As long as his heart is lifted up toward God, he's got problems, neighbor. He's got problems because God is resisting him. But if we'll humble ourselves before God, there is a place of exaltation that God will give us. If it not be in this world, I'll tell you, I believe it's going to be on the other side. I don't care how low down in sin you might get. There's usually that little streak of pride down there. Did you know that? When I first started my ministry 26 years ago, pastoring a little church in northern Missouri, fella came one day and we were just ready to leave wife and her cousin and myself, and he said, Reverend, I want to go in the church and pray. He was drunker than a hoot owl, but I said, well, okay, I'll go in and pray with him. His name was Fred. I said, okay, Fred, we'll go in and pray. So I went in there and I began to pray with him. He knelt down at the altar. And I said, now, Fred, you tell the Lord how honoring and mean you've been. He beat his family and he was mean to him. I knew it. And pretty soon he looked at me and said, now, wait just a minute. He said, I'm not such a bad guy. You know, as long as you have that attitude, neighbor, you're not going to find grace. You're going to find grace when you humble yourself under the hand of God. You'll find what you need from God, that which you do not deserve. But there is an humbling of ourselves to find the grace of God. Do you see what pride did to Pharaoh's heart? He rebelled against God. A young man came to me one time to my office. He said, Reverend, and I don't like to be called Reverend, but that's what he called. He said, the Reverend said, so I don't know who you know it or not, but I'm smarter than the ordinary person. I said, oh, what do you say to someone that's smarter than you are and smarter than the ordinary person? So I said, oh, and a few days later, he was in the hospital. I got a call to come up. He had a problem. And what kind of an answer do you give to a man that has a problem that's smarter than the ordinary person and you're an ordinary person? He said, Reverend, I said, I've got a problem. I said, it's a big one. And he did have. You know, when we think that we're bigger and we can handle anything that comes our way, we better realize it's not by might nor by power, but it's by God's Spirit and His help and His supplying the grace and the strength that we need. Paul, in his writing in the book of Philippians, spoke about it. He said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Humbling experience. A fellow used to come to my church. He didn't come anymore. He was going to be president of the United States. He may make it. I don't know. You might know him. You know, it's nice to have worthy goals. But we need to realize who we are. Now, there is a balance that I must bring to you. I realize I am a child of God. I don't believe that I ought to degrade myself and not try to do anything for God. But I do realize, too, that I must humble myself under the hand of God and realize that every good and perfect gift comes from Him, and it's by Him working through His people that the work of God is accomplished. And if I am going to see anything happen that's worthy of praise and honor and glory to the name of the Lord, I'm going to have to submit myself to the hand of God. I'm going to have to give myself to God and say, God, here I am. Not a great master, but an humble servant. You say, have you made it? Oh, I suppose I'd be like the rest of the people that said they just finished the book of how humble they are and they want you to read it. You know, we have problems with this. The naughtiness of our heart. We get lifted up within ourselves and we begin to look at ourselves. And you know, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he said, if we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. And I think when we would take a good objective look at ourselves, and we would begin to evaluate ourselves, and when we see it, and we say, Lord, I'm nothing, but Lord, I realize, I believe it was Brother Mayo from Atlanta, Georgia, made the remark. He says, my God and I can do anything. I'm nothing, but my God and I can do anything. You see, friends, when you look at your own ability, it'll not change lives. I don't care if you can preach better than Billy Graham or Roberts or whoever you want to preach better, unless God speaks and uses you by the Holy Spirit, it's not going to do the work that God wants to happen in lives. People said, I can't understand why people haven't been saved. They said, the word has been preached. I know that the word is a powerful thing, and I know it's a precious thing, and it's able to make us wise unto salvation. But if we'll humble ourselves and believe for the Holy Spirit, not because I'm so capable, but because God is so good, that God is so gracious, and He is the one who is able to do the work. When I lift up my heart in pride and naughtiness of heart, I'm headed for a fall. I found out a long time ago, when I began to minister the Word of God, I might think I preached a pretty decent message and it would be a royal flop. And I might think I preached a royal flop and God would take some simple part of the Word of God and touch somebody's heart and life. We need to realize that what we do is unto the Lord to bring honor and to bring glory and praise to His name. Pride is when our way is the only way that's right. That's what it is. Now, God will resist you. God will resist you if you're the only person that's right. You know, that's kind of a bad attitude to have. Someone made the remark sometimes, said, well, we can afford to be opinionated when we're so right. But I'll tell you, friends, we need to realize that God's Word is right. God's Word is right. The fellow told, I heard my dad tell a story many times about a fellow down in the southern part of the northern Missouri. I guess it was in northern Missouri rather than the southern part of Iowa. He came down through there years ago and he saw his neighbor. And he drove by and he was in his buggy and he came by and he talked to him and said, John, what's the matter? He said, I got a sick horse. He said, you got a sick horse? He said, yeah, I got a sick horse. He said, what's the matter with him? Well, he said, I really just tell you the symptoms. I don't really know what's the matter. Just I can tell you what's happening to the horse and how he's acting. He said, do you know, John? I had a horse just exactly like that. He said, what did you do? And he gave him the remedy. He said, this is what I did. Well, he said, thank you very much. And so a few months later, he came back by to talk to John. He said, how's your horse, John? Well, he said, it died. He said, mine did too. You know, we're given a lot of information. And man, we got all the answers. You don't have to ask anybody else. There was a time in my ministry, it didn't matter what subject you had. I could talk to you about it. Didn't know a hill of beans about it. But I'd talk. And it's foolishness. It's foolishness. The older I get, the more I realize there's no disgrace in saying, I don't know. There's no disgrace in saying, I don't understand it, but I'll study about it and I'll look in it. Sometimes a teacher says, well, there's things that they ask questions that I don't know. Now, maybe that don't happen to you Bible school teachers, but it happens to me as a pastor. And if it hasn't happened to you, I might pass a few along. I think maybe we might have some fun. But I don't have no hesitancy and say, I don't understand it, I don't know, but we can look into the Word together and we can see what God has got to say about the situation. If we want something from God, we're going to have a life of unity with our message, a humility of life. Jesus, when He was here on earth, He chose the place of a servant. We say Jesus for our example. You know, whenever we begin to look at His message, it was not the message of the hour we hear today.
Now, I know it is in our churches, I'm sure. But many of the churches, you know, the big thing, and I believe that God honors giving. I believe this. But Jesus taught some things that was quite interesting when I began to evaluate them. We want a positive gospel. If you preach a little bit negative, people just scream and yell like a smashed cat. They don't like it. They don't like it. But did you know that Jesus talked about losing your life? If you're going to find it, that's kind of negative. He talked about giving. Isn't that what he said? You see, whenever I begin to see the real message that Jesus had to say, it had the part that was so vital had to do with the next life. The positive part was more of what you receive here on earth. He said, you lose your life and you'll find it. He said, take up your cross. He didn't say, take up your crown. Isn't that what he said? He said, take up your cross and follow me. He said, deny yourself. Now, that's kind of negative, isn't it? But he said, you know what? You'll have a home in heaven. He said, you can be my disciple. You can be a follower of me. The snare of vanity, of pride in the heart. Six things that God hates, yea, seven are abomination to him. And you may not think it's very important how you look, but God said the one thing he hates is a proud look. We have people ministering in our area sometimes, and you know, they come on so strong, they're so much better than anybody else in the country. They go to the jail, and they look down on them people in the jailhouse. And they look... That's not the only people they look down on either. You know, this thing in the heart, it's not just people that are down and out as they look down on. They feel like they're a little better than the ordinary person. But you know, friends, if we're going to please the Lord, we're going to take upon ourselves the form of a servant. Jesus gave the example when he washed the disciples' feet. The disciples had a little problem. I'm about to close. It's getting about midnight, about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. That's not the only struggle there ever was for greatness. Still going on today. Someone gets advanced. How come I wasn't chose to be the speaker? How come I wasn't chose to be the leader? How come I wasn't chose to be this? Anybody knows that I have more ability than that person does, and they just willfully bypass me. They probably seen our spirit, didn't they? If we're going to receive grace, we're going to have to humble ourselves under the hand of God. We're going to have to give ourselves to a life of humility. I don't believe that's going around looking down your nose and feeling sorry for yourself. I feel like that we can be the happiest people in the world because we know who we are. We are a child of God, but it's still by His grace that came through the humility of our mind and our soul and our spirit when we came and asked Him forgiveness. I wonder this evening, I know there's a lot of ambitious young people here. I'm not against goals. But let's achieve them in the right manner. I remember hearing Jack Hiles. Well, you appreciate him or not, I appreciated what he had to say. He said, when I started out in the ministry, he said, I saw the young flashing ministers with their white shoes and their white suits. And he said, man, just overnight saved a year or two. And man, they was having big crusades and people was looking at them, how great they was. And they began to drop off here and drop off there. He said, I made up my mind. I said, God, you've called me into the ministry. He said, I want to have a full ministry. But Lord, I'm going to hit every rung of the ladder as I go. Now, you remember that. If you want to make the top, you miss a few, you're liable to have to go back and take them over. And you better hit them one at a time. I know sometimes we look at it right up there and we make a leap for it.
You better take it a rung at a time as you walk. Humble yourself under the hand of God. You'll be exalted. God will take care of that. You don't have to worry about that. I'd like for you to bow your heads, and I'm going to have a word of prayer with you now. I feel like some of the greatest people in the world today are sitting in this audience. Jesus, I ask you to help us to realize that we're to find grace and strength to help in the time of need. We're going to humble ourselves. For because, Lord, humility is the thing we need. Forgive me for my vanity of mind and spirit that I have. Help us, Lord, to realize, O God, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watches in vain. Unless you build the city, it's not going to be built. It's by you, Lord. And though we're channels, Lord, I realize it's your mighty hand that does it. Remember every young person here tonight. And I pray, O God, that they'll not think more highly of themselves than they ought. Lord, whenever you give them souls around the altar, may it be the most humbling experience that they've ever had, that you would show so much kindness that through their ministry they could see rewards that would be in heaven for them if they keep the right attitude. Help us, Lord Jesus, even this night. God, I pray that you'd bless every young person, every adult. God, may we see, Lord, the work of God is going to be accomplished by those who submit themselves under the hand of God. It's not by our might, it's not by our power, but it's by your power, Lord, and by your Spirit. Help us, Lord. Touch lives by your word tonight. Jesus, may we see, Lord, that you're giving grace to those, that which they don't deserve, to those that will humble themselves. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Gary.
Let's all stand. Let's all praise, go Lord and praise together.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, thank you.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Brother Kessler, would you close our time in prayer?
Our Father, we thank you for using the funds to help us, most of all, for our purpose, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Brother, my Father, we pray and thank you for our purpose, because you have been with us in this church. And the banquet and the Father's prayer, my Lord, we thank you for our purpose, Lord, for mercy and kindness, for the happiness, for us to ask for this one, for me.
Thank you, Jesus. Almost.
Hallelujah.